You're always stoking the flame. Trust me, I know. And the flame can do a lot of things. Fire as metaphor is as old as divination. Fire as metaphor is as old as technical language. You burn imagery into a disk, or once you did, you burn in on new hardware. Your mind burns a lot of things. The things you don't need, and the things you don't want, and the things you want to be pure. But burning doesn't eliminate anything. It just changes its form. And in your mental landscape, the form of things is rather more malleable than anywhere else. Something you have burned to ashes, you can reconstitute tomorrow if you wish it so. Flame lives in us, and I use the word lives advisedly. You can see it flickering. You can use it as an external totem or an internal symbol. Lighting a flame safely, carefully, in your hypnotic space can equate to having that dancing, flickering space so free. Flame breathes the same as us, slow, methodical. If you could be flame, what might you draw in a heat that was as much part of you as what you share? To be something with heat and light to share, I assure you, you are this already. So thinking on that, on being something which by its nature can be warming, can be heating, can be burning. The difference between what you warm and grow and glow upon and what you burn and render into ash is simple. Same as all things, it is a matter of what do you want? What you want being respected? What you want being elevated? What you want being part of the equation? If something touches you that you adore, maybe this flame can choose to warm that thing, to grow and glow and burnish the touch. And what touches you that you do not adore may be rendered unto ash. It is as simple as meditation, and every bit as complex and deep. It is as simple as an external flame which you might watch, breathing, flickering, swaying, moving. The infinite nuance of a glow that finds its way into your eye, into your brain, down into your soul, and like you breathe, and like you may dance, the flame breathes, and the flame may dance. The flame putting out purified, constant light. Putting out radiant, adored heat. The flame exists. Your mind exists. And the one may exist in the other. A flickering light before you, eating up your attention and putting out warmth, heat, putting out a soothing aura into the air around it. The more attention you put into the flame, the more that aura burns outward, etching your environment with shadows and purpose. The longer you stare, the more the dance becomes the 1-2-3, 1-2-3 rhythm and dance. Your mind slowly becomes your attention. As you overlap the two, 1-to-1, the beam that casts out of your mind's eye into your imaginative space, and the beam that casts out of your body into real space may even align. If you're watching a flame. But the one first obvious absolute characteristic of flame within and without is that it burns what you do not want, and it keeps what you desire. That, despite the fact that we think of flame as impermanent, that we think of small flames as easily snuffed out, it is entirely possible to take a very large flame and feed it, in such a way that it will grow yet stay within its confines, to lay the cornerstones of its safe maintenance, to lay the cornerstones of its safe expansion, so that such a flame stays just exactly where it is, so that such a flame stays just exactly how it ought to be, which is to say, in place, staying right where it is, staying right where it should be. You keep it exactly where it is. You keep it exactly where it is. As much flame or as little as is useful to you. Filling in the space around your mind. Or even before you, set out on a candle. Set out to watch. And the flicker and dance, the 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3 of it become familiar. But if you think about how you use internal metaphor, how you blaze the world before you, how you blaze a trail, how you burn an idea in as you would to a disc or to a piece of hardware, all the uses of flame expand. The nature of flame is to spend something. The higher quality the fuel, the more pleasure, the more heat, the more warmth and light, and indeed, the more satisfaction in having formed and maintained that particular flame you can benefit from. So I invite you then to think where flame could exist in your mind. Try lighting a candle, be it incense, be it a larger taper, when you trance, staring into it, imagining what might happen if, remember, your mental space can reconstitute what you burn. So if you mentally burn something, you can always reassemble it later. Rebuild it from the ash, restore it from there as your mind drills down, as bits of you pleasantly, warmly melt away. A lot more like an ice cube melting away, like some frozen bit of you being exposed to warmth for the first time. Like some deep sepulchral core being raised from its tomb, light and heat finding its way through the limbs, making them shiver. Like some core of you that is being pushed outward, perfectly. And your mind follows that tack and you realize flame dwells in you already. And if it flickers where you can see it, you could feed 1 or 2 or 3% of your mind into it. And then by degrees, 1 or 2 or 3% more. Of course, the question may be whether that puts you down at 94, or whether it takes you to 97, and then that becomes the new 100, and you go to 3% down from 97% of your mind. You can feed the flame as slow as you like. You can melt your mind as slow as you like. The fire in you is indifferent and ambivalent, even as it is warm and loving. Be cherished by the flame as you cherish it, warm, constant, present, and again, more and more of your mind into the flame as fuel, remembering that your mind can reconstitute come the end of things, remembering that the ash can be reforged, that my voice will remain anyway because my voice is not part of your mind. It is a gift, an optional extra, the mitochondria acting in the center of the cell, part of the thing that has gotten into it a very long time ago, but still a part of it, a part. And that part of it, which stands apart, exists constantly, and therefore will be there to call you back even if you burn everything and all things in the flame. If you let everything burn away, leaving just a blankness, but rather than the blankness of being drained out, be blank pet, rather than the blank emptiness, this is the burnt ash that is warm underfoot, which makes fine fertilization for new things to grow. This is the ash of the furrow, the ash of the plow, the ash of the field near the bonfire where dances have occurred, the ash of the flame where many have sat and told a tale. This is fireside ash, storyteller's ash, the ash with which we paint our faces and journey forward. This is the stuff of slow warrior nighttime. This is the stuff of the creeping, coming rains. This is the stuff you feel in the atmosphere, standing near a fire and feeling the barometric pressure shift, feeling the rain begin to conjure itself, feeling the story begin to tell itself. And eventually, when enough of you has gone in the flame by 1s and 2s and 3%, whether you choose the path where you subtract additively from 100 to 97 to 94 to 91 to 88, or the path where you subtract by calculation, multiplying by 99 or 98 or 97%, so 0.97 from 100 gets you to 97. But from there you get to 94.09 of your original total, and then 91.27, 88.53, 85.87, and so on, reducing by 3% of whatever number you're at, becomes less and less, so your mind, through an infinite set of recursions, will always keep a little bit of itself left. Whichever of these sounds safer to you is available to you, and all you need do is examine the flame. Watch as more and more of your mind is in the flame, more and more of you dancing, as free as can be, dancing, fed by your breath, deep, deliberate breath. And if you breathe in and you draw it through the flame, then things you don't need will be burnt out of your breath, giving you a purer experience, a purer in and out. Reflect on the flame, and that if you draw your breath through it, then the warm breath that fills you may burn away obstructions, impurities, things you neither desire nor need, and what you desire and what you need may be influenced by the fact that more and more of the seed of your thoughts, the seat of your thoughts, the simple, constant thrum of your thoughts is in the flame. Think about seeds. When you randomly generate things, you have a seed phrase or a seed number, which tells the randomizer what to do. But if you knew every innovation of the randomizer, you could run a seed through it and get exactly the result you want. If you understood the flame, the way it dances left and right, to and fro, you could control it completely. And if you put more and more of your mind in it, you'll understand it better and better as well. Is not the trick, then, to put 51%, 55% of yourself in the flame, to plant the seed of flame in there, so you may see how the seed phrase travels through it, how one of your thoughts moves through it, to control the flame utterly and deliberately, to know, oh, now it will dance to the left, and you anticipate that dancing movement, and you feel pleasure when it does. Oh, now it will dance to the right, and you experience pleasure when it does, and if it dances to the left again, then you think to yourself, I should inspect the flame more, I should understand the flame more, I should put myself in the flame more so I can understand its quirks and innovations. And because my words are here and they are neither part of your mind nor completely part of the flame, though they may be part of the seed phrase that helps you understand how the flame dances and influences you, because my words are here, you can actually put 60%, 70, 80, more and more of yourself into the flame, because I will be here. I will help you reassemble. I will take all the things that burn to ash and turn them to substance again with you, and they will be more or less the same. If 93, 96, 99% of you is in that beautiful dancing flame, when you get to the last 1%, there's only one question to ask yourself. Are you on the subtractive mathematical model, where subtracting 3 has eventually landed you with 99 gone after 33 iterations, and one more subtraction will take you to 0? Or are you on the multiplicative iteration, where after 33 iterations you still have quite a bit of mind left, so I can do this to you more, I mean, you can do this to you more, I mean, we can do this with you more, putting more of you in the flame? The slower route gives you a very special dilemma. When you get to 1% of your mind left in your body, the multiplicative version of you will never ever empty out. It can keep putting 3% of 1% into the flame over and over. But the subtractive version of you, the faster version, it will put the last 1% in the flame, and then more of yourself, -2, -5, building new structures so you can put them in the flame. So you can understand it better through having your whole mind in that flame. And as I said, anything which burns to ash can be reassembled. The nature of flame in your mind is that everything is preserved, because your mind is a closed system. So that means that no matter how much of your mind you put in there, whether you're on the subtractive algorithm where only 1% of your mind stays behind until -2, -5, -8, -11, or you're on the multiplicative where you get to 0, never, but you might get to 0.00001%, one tiny flickering part of you listening, watching. But this raises an interesting, intricate, beautiful question. If you're trying to understand the seed phrase of the flame, if you're trying to understand how it dances left and right so you can predict it, so you can draw your breath through it, so you can purge away anything you don't like, What happens when you love the flame? And what happens when you love the way you feel? And I reach out, wet my fingers, and snuff it out.